Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back.
Hello, 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 everybody.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. My name is Christy Rose.
And I'm Donald.
And we talk about health matters, mental health matters, and whatever matters to you.
That's right.
We've been rocking this show since May of 2020, right in the heart of COVID. We started this, and we're here every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And you can listen to our older episodes on the freedomizerradio.com website or also on the podcast. And then we do have a website of our own, mentalacumenradio.com, where I post the links and also our blog so you can easily find our shows. And, of course, we encourage you to listen to the other shows as well on Freedomizer Radio. And then we want to encourage you to share the show with your friends and family.
Far and wide.
Right. You can also call us while we're live on air at 319-527-6208 and press number 1. And we want to encourage you to think globally and act locally. We try to do this in our neighborhood as well, but even when we travel, we kind of do that in the neighborhood where we're traveling as well. So also, I am a trained health coach, and so you can reach out to me at mentalacumenradio@gmail.com. And also on our website, you can comment if you need some more information about what I offer for health coaching or where you can train to be a health coach as well. So we will start out the show today with you, Donald. What is new and good with you this week?
Well, we had a bountiful harvest this year in Colorado, especially up here in northern Colorado. Our own personal little piece of urban guerrilla gardening that we do here has been just giving it up and giving it up and still giving it up. And it's going to be a theme in our show today about the past being prologue, but wow, I'm really grateful for the amount of gourds, squashes, and pumpkins that we have been receiving. And, I'm not a huge pumpkin lover, but something about the fall, because we thank God we're in fall. We're getting some nice clean air to breathe now, finally. And I'm excited that we're able to, go outside, breathe some clean air, and enjoy this last little gasp of late summer, early winter that we experience here in Colorado. And, but I'm really grateful that we have had a bountiful harvest this year. We did our makeup show where we were talking about the equinoxes and stuff like that, and how some of those old pagan rituals and things like that were centered around the bountiful harvest and everything else. And I'm just really blown away by the fact that you put it out on your neighborhood Facebook that, hey, does anybody have an excess of apples? Because we drive past them constantly, mm-hmm. where they're just, all over the ground, all over the street, all over the backyard. Hey, does anyone have any extra apples they want us to come pick them? We'd be willing to barter with you for some apple butter or something like this. And we got a hit immediately. And out of that hit, I approximated about 7 bushels of apples. And you've been steadily working on it for a day and a half, 2 days almost. And we still have a good 4 bushels left. So, yeah, wow, gee, we got our work cut out for us, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be Apple Butter Palooza. That might be our next ad that we're going to throw together for the show. If you were to contact us about apple butter being shipped directly to you, please send a selfie to you or something like that. But, yeah, I'm really soaked about us moving into fall. Well on my way and through into sober October, which I talked about during the last episode. And again, not that I'm a big drinker or anything, but I enjoy drinking wine with some red meat on Mondays on my day off after the show, things like that sometimes. But it's good to clear out the system from time to time. I mean, we talked about how we did a purge last year where we cleared out from everything, alcohol and sugar and starches and everything. And boy, howdy, wasn't that a good time.
Right.
Yeah. I may end up doing something like that during the month, you know, but it won't be for an entire month.
Right.
Because I like my sugar with coffee and cream. But anyway, all that plus, you know, mentioned briefly in the last show about my daughter turning 14 now. So happy that she's seems to be doing well in school, which is surprising because she really hated school there for the past few years. So if she's finding a stride, you know, I'm not a fan of compulsory state schooling for other completely different set of reasons than the socializing and the learning of reading and math skills. You know, I'm against that for a completely different set of reasons. So I won't get into that right now, but that's about it for me. I'm sorry. That was a little bit ranty, a little bit all of a rant there. But what is new and good with you, Miss Christie?
It still piggybacks off of what you were talking about with the apples because, yes, I processed all the apples that I had from our backyard tree, and it was not very many jars. And I kind of, through trial and error, of course, and I talked about that a little bit, discovered my recipes that I really like that consistently turn out good if I follow my recipes. Maybe not to the exact letter, but pretty close to remind me exactly what I want to put in my apple butters and all of those sorts of things. And so I finally started writing them down, and I've got my little collection, and now it's going to be half full of recipes from apples, but that's okay because I reached out on Nextdoor, I believe it was. It was a Facebook one bought by Facebook or whatever anyway. And yes, that very same day I got a response about apples, and we picked the apples the very next day. And then later that evening, as I'm processing apples, I get another response from another lady close to us, and she says she misses her grandma's apple butter and she would be welcome to trade. And so I was like, well, if you want a few jars of apple butter, then I will make you some apple butter, or I can teach you how. And she says, nope, let's just trade. You can come pick all my apples, and I think they're green ones. I think she said, I forget. She said they're small, and I'm like, that's fine. Don't care, because I can utilize the apples, and especially when they're basically for free because you're picking them and just trading for a little bit of apple butter. And then we'll see what goes from there, because I'd like to have enough to share with friends and family as well. And
oh, we've got that.
Plenty.
Oh, we've got that. We're going to end up taking a shortcut somewhere along the line where we just cook them, bag them, and freeze them maybe for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I did make applesauce as well, because the applesauce I've been able to freeze in the freezer bags. And so I've been trucking right along, and that was a pretty fast process when you're freezing them versus canning them. Plus, as we've talked about, it's hard to find jars. And so I'm being very particular about which items I want to put in the jars because I still need to do some raspberry jelly without peppers and the rest of my pumpkin butter in jars. So working away at it and really enjoying, even though I don't have any special equipment or anything, and I may upgrade, especially if I'm going to be processing lots and lots of apples. But
yeah, you are.
I do this with a cutting board and a knife and the help of the stove and the Instant Pot for some of those things and the dehydrator, and that's about it. But it's been an enjoyable week. I have one class finished. I've got the next class that will be finished this week. So in amongst processing that and working, I've got to finish my last class. It's jam-packed full of assignments due Friday. So by next week, I'll be down to my last two classes. But I did apply for graduation, so I've got that going for me. So I have to finish my last two classes and pass those, which shouldn't be a problem. It just, I'll be done on December 3rd. I'm kind of excited.
Very nice, dear. Good job. What are you going to do with your degree?
I don't know yet. I'm still hoping my internship pans out, but if it doesn't, we'll see.
Okay. So let's dovetail off of, you know, something we both were saying up there about the bartering stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to a handful of people recently that, you know, and it's something that we've mentioned in the show several times about you want to unseat the seat of power.
Right.
They, right, here we go with using that, you know, those pronouns. They, the powers that be, the elite, the globalists, the cabal, the whatever you want to call there about the secret shadow government that does not exist, they want to centralize power. It's not a big secret. You can objectively stand back and see how this has taken place over my lifetime, over our parents' lifetimes, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not how things work in America. I think we should all be really emboldened by what we saw come out of COVID, mm-hmm. right? You have a bunch of lemmings out there in this country that are running around with masks on, outdoors, on a bicycle, begging for the government to take care of them. And you could tell them point blank to their face, the government hates you and wants you to die. And they're like, I don't believe that. I got a check. Money, food stamps are great, and like, whatever. Well, democide has killed 500 times more people than COVID has, and SARS, and MERS, and Ebola, and E. coli. Democide is death by government. And if they're not saddling up troops to go across to the other side and kill people in the state of war, they kill their own people, right? The 20th century has been littered with stories of different dictators killing their own people, right? America propping up some dictators that turn around and kill their own people. They gas their own people. Let's go attack them, right? Government kills people, period. They do it by dropping love bombs on them. They do it by giving them bad drugs through their FDAs and other approved things. The way out of it, a way out of it, is the decentralization way. These people will come for you. They will eventually come for us all. But in the interim, the best thing to do is to stop raging against the machine and build your own new machine. And this has been happening all over the place, from people, like a micro sort of level of that is the lady that we buy those cookies from at the farmer's market on Sundays. Mm-hmm. She just has a simple disclaimer on her cookie packaging. These items were made in an independent, privately owned kitchen and are not subject to the rules of the FDA and yada, yada, yada. Now, there are many lemmings out there in this world that I would never, ever think about touching something like that because she could put poison in it. You mean like the kind of poison that's in a lot of your prepackaged cookies?
Right.
You ever read some of those labels and go, I read her labels and she's like almond flour, sugar, jelly, and I'm like, come on.
Right, there's no preservatives and words you can't pronounce and red dye 42 and this sort of stuff.
Right.
It's like food coloring or natural colors of the whatever's flavors in it.
Right, right. And I would bet dollars to donuts that when the season changes and we end up going for the winter's farmer's market that starts here in another month, and she shows up there and you show up there with like, okay, I love you. Here is your jar of apple butter. Here's your pumpkin butter. Here's your raspberry habanero jelly. Here's your regular. She's going to be like, oh, my God, take a dozen of these macarons, then. That's barter. Trading goods and services for goods and services without any government interference in the middle of it saying, wait, we need our cut. We call it a tax. We're thieving from you. And people are turning away from this system because the system has turned away from them a long time ago. And I've been into the conspiracy world for a long time now. And back in the day, but we'll say back in the 2009, 2010, whenever the conspiracy clubs were building the internet as we know it, way back in the day whenever you had like a real player and you were listening to your MP3 downloads on it, right? And you were watching conspiracy videos on a, remember Google Video? Wow, you don't even remember Google Video. Yeah, it's like circa 05, 06, somewhere in there maybe. But anyway, yeah, I've said this to a handful of people, you know, that mainstream culture consumed conspiracy culture, rebranded it, and then sold it back to us, right? There's so much of this crap that you see in mainstream culture right now that was conspiratorial type of subject matter a decade ago, right? We've talked about the Epstein and the rampant pedophilia, right? The overt satanic messaging that's these days, right? Back in the day, whenever I was growing up, the esoteric evil stuff that was like running through heavy metal music and stuff, there was always a bit of a balancing act with the majority of those people, right? These days, you got like pop act. Remember when pop music was just so bubblegum, right? The New Kids and Hanging Tough, and Hammer Time, Can't Touch You, you know, and this kind of thing. Now, I mean, you turn on these video music award shows, and it's just like upside down pentagrams, and everybody's bathing in blood, and I'm like, what is going on here? And it's this overt, I mean, in your face type of thing, right? I mean, even whenever Black Sabbath with Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of freaking Darkness himself, would get out on television, they might put like, upside down cross up there, and everybody's like, oh, good Lord, heavens to Bethy, turn that garbage off, you know? But these days, it's just like very out in your face for some reason, you know? But what was I talking about before I tailed off into that tangent? We were talking about systems, right? And conspiracy culture. And we would always use the term waking up, right? Oh, yeah, you know, it's whenever you started discovering new information, right? Basically, the how the world really works.
Right.
Right. If you think Joe Biden or Donald Trump is really the leader of the free world, well, then have fun believing that. And there's no power behind the throne. That only happens in the Game of Thrones show, right? There's always the Iron Bank in that movie, in that show. It's not happening in real life, though, okay? Until you start reading a little bit, you know. Then you scratch around, you're like, so it's cliche whenever we use this hyperbole type of messaging, like, well, you know, the corporation's got all the politicians in their back pocket. That's fanciful and pretty easy to get away with something like that, right? But when you say, I believe there's, you know, dynastic banking families that have been running the show for hundreds of years, whoa, pump the brakes there, big guy. I'm not into these conspiracy theories, okay? That's crazy talk.
Well, you know, with this time of the year and all of that, the veil is lifting for some things. Maybe this is one of the things that may be
the bell's
exposed.
Lifted. The bell's lifted. It's,
not for everyone.
It's, and that's just it, though. It's like a lot of times I tell people the information's out there.
Right.
If you don't know, it's because you don't want to know. And I understand that angle.
They don't want to look behind the curtain, even if the curtain's open.
But the thing of it is like, we all have a different set of facts that we are in possession of.
Right.
Right? And it's like discussing football with a group of women in a sewing circle. You're going to lose your audience real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You start talking about the 3-4 defenses and the 4-3s. Right? Exactly. You're like, okay, well, back in the day, they used to run a wishbone offense, and there's a lot of running plays. They're like, yeah, don't care, right? It's the same sort of thing, right? But if people think they have, well, I got my life figured out for what I need to know.
Right.
You can say, well, you probably need to know this. Why do I need to know this? Because whenever you go to vote for a donkey or an elephant next time, and this way you won't have the nerve to look surprised when they blank.
Well, knowledge is power, but ignorance is bliss, Donald.
This is true.
There is a burden that comes with the power of knowledge. Because some of those things you can't unlearn them unless you get amnesia or something.
And once you learn it, you have to do something with it.
Right.
Even if you compartmentalize it and tuck it away in the recesses of your brain. You have to do something with it.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes if you just play it all, like, well, I lay those things in the hands of God, and I don't worry about those types of things. Well, okay, well, that's fine. You know, that's your choice and your decision. Yeah, I'm sure you don't think that way in the voting booth, but, you know, whatever.
Right. To each their own. We all have free will, or do we? But anyway.
Right.
So how about a few ads to kind of break it up just a little bit, and then we will come back and extend this conversation and talk about bartering and
economics. And you're going to listen to Donnie rant.
Yeah, sure.
No.
If that helps. We'll be back in a few minutes, guys.
Cool.
Bare Faces Legal Radio, Saturdays, noon to 1:30 Eastern Time, Pacific Time, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Learn about your bare face rights and help keep us without face diapers.
Tune in to the show, The Right View, every Friday from 6 to 9 p.m.
Tune in to the Alaskan Patriot Network every Friday, 2 p.m. Alaska time, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, everybody, this is Cece. You know, we at Hope Radio promised to do this thing together. So we will find a way to greater prosperity, greater health, greater purpose, and greater hope. Join us, Hope Radio with Cece, on Freedomizer Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets, and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage, maybe your diet or politics? Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers. And we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about. And you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad. Okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's going to make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dum-dum.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
We taught the world to sing in perfect harmony. Just drink Coke, the road to obesity.
At Coke, we say we're woke. We sell drinks fat as smoke. China is our labor supplier that drives our stock price even higher. What the world knows today, obesity won't go away.
Won't be cool.
Diabetes is here to stay. That's the real thing. What the world knows today, obesity won't go away.
From the people that brought you the roller coaster making game and who brought you the FEMA coloring books, it's the FEMA Camp Tycoon.
That sounds cool.
Here you will have over 800 concentration camps to choose from.
Wow.
You want Vegas? 29 Palms? Jacksonville? Start with Beech Grove, Indiana, and it's all yours. You'll learn how to get people on the red, the blue, and the yellow list.
I want to be red.
I want to be blue.
Buy more trains. Get HR 645 passed, but don't pay the Senate too much money. You'll need to buy gas chambers with that. Collect barcode readers, sell souvenirs, and hit the high score on collecting millions of American people, I mean, right-wing extremists. Anyway, coming soon, FEMA Camp Tycoon.
welcome back.
Hello, hello.
So we're kind of talking about economics and bartering and how to fend for yourself, I guess, is some of that business altogether.
You know, talking about loopholes and, you know, circumventing some of the power structures.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really new economics. It's more like old economics. I reckon when, you know, people were stuck in the middle of the Great Depression, and at that time, seeds were probably hard to come by. The Dust Bowl preceded the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And by what, 3 years probably, yeah. And then Great Depression went on into the, you know, mid-30s. And if you didn't have a chunk of land to grow your own food, access to someone with livestock, to get a piece of meat, you were basically hoping for someone to throw you a bone.
Mm-hmm.
So you could make your own bone broth. Maybe keep yourself alive while you were eating bone broth and whatever leafy greens you could grow in the windowsill.
Literally rationing your rations.
Yes. But the idea, and, you know, a lot of people have speculated, and I kind of like your take on it, now that I've corrupted you and introduced you to power structures that maybe you were unaware of before. The invention of the internet as it exists today, most likely was midwifed, if not, you know, put through by the military-industrial complex, we'll say. Military money tends to back a lot of the creature comforts that we have today. The stories of, you know, these tech people inventing these things and inter-office type of messaging systems and stuff like that. Okay, that's good and fine. But I'm talking about the internet as it exists today, you know, and the fact that a lot of these big heavy hitters in the tech industry got seed money from Qintel, which is like the investment arm of the CIA, and these DARPA programs and yada, 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 kind of says, you know, if they're not directly funded by, they're definitely in bed with, mm-hmm. right? And government has always been about controlling the flow of information, right? You can go back to all of the wars in this country, pretty much, right? Well, most of them anyway. And it became very well known and obvious to the powers that be that they needed to be in control of the information, right? So you can do your own research and figure out some of these families that were buying up newspapers way back in the 1800s, right? And how many people own pretty much all of the media that is what we call the mainstream outlets, you know? Like 5 different companies these days that are pretty much disseminating everything.
Right, because the corporations are the backbone of our economy and governmental laws and regulations and such, and I don't believe those fanciful stories now of this person created this thing in a basement. and they just happened upon millions of dollars that could fund this operation and expand it, because I don't believe that's true. And I know I don't necessarily believe all the history stuff, but even what I did retain from childhood and from my parents telling me this sort of thing, but I question all things, I guess, now. And even look at, because the studies that I've done are more focused on the healthcare system, but it still involves rules and regulations and policies and governmental entities and such, because right. That's a big part of healthcare.
And may I point you to a book, I think, are you aware of the Flexner Report?
That sounds familiar, but I don't know.
All right. We'll get into that stuff in a different show, but there's a book, Robert something. I'm sorry, I'm bad with names. You know this. But the book is called Rockefeller Medicine Man, or Medicine Man, Medicine Man, I want to say. And we saw a bit of this documentary that James Corbett did, and it goes into detail about the Rockefeller family and the Carnegie families, right? They were involved in these secret societies. In this case, it would be the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilaterals, okay, the Trilateral Commission. And the aims of these things in their mission statements was to hijack the education system. They're like, if we're going to be an oligarchy and maintain our control and influences, we have to dumb down the populace, keep them that way. And the Carnegie Foundation was basically in charge of international universities and stuff. The Rockefeller was the American ones. And all of the curriculum that goes through the state compulsory school systems and stuff is basically, you know, done by the committee, right? Well, the medical field is no different. The medical schools and everything else was hijacked by these groups back in the 1800s. And there was a big push, what do you call it, whatever, like a smear campaign to start doing away with all of the old naturopathic in favor of the allopathic system that we have today, you know, and herbal remedies and yada, yada, yada. All went away overnight. And the medical school, you know, started training the doctors in these different types. You know, just look at, like, the Little House on the Prairie type of doctors, right? And just some of the new drugs that they had in those days were mainly just for killing pain. You know, they got that few other ones that were for, you know, removing of the spots and lesions that came along with those fevers that were running rampant back in the late 1800s. That tuberculosis that they couldn't get a handle on or anything like that. They were still very much into a hybrid type of thing of the old ways and the, you know, coming in with the new ways as well.
Because they didn't have the technology and the resources and development teams, scientific teams at that point to produce the expansive amount of drugs like we have today, because we still compare it to the drug dealers. And when they were making these choices and decisions, the higher ups, that have control of the ultimate say-so. Why would they want to heal you with this healing plant when they could get you on a drug that you could be addicted to that could cause other side effects that would force you to take another drug and maybe yet another drug? So now we've got elderly citizens, senior citizens, that are on numerous drugs that have gotten their retirement sucked away or their 401k sucked away, or they're relying 100% on the government from Social Security and Medicare because they can't afford all their medical bills because it just keeps snowballing. Once you get addicted to these things or your body gets tolerant of these things, you have to up the dose and up the dose so they get you on the comeback.
And
that's where the money is.
For a lot of the lemmings out there in the streets that you meet and encounter, that should be like the number one knee-jerk response to the trust the science crowd. You are not supposed to trust the science. That is exactly antithetical to science.
Right. Science is about theorizing and testing.
And whenever you say that the science is settled, odds are you are completely full of shit.
Yeah, the science is never settled because there are always exceptions. They can hypothesize, they can theorize, they can test. But I've never seen a study that says 100% of the people did exactly what we theorized would happen. That has never been the case in the numerous amounts of, well, probably hundreds at this point of studies that I've read over my course of the last couple of years for my bachelor's in health innovation. I've never found one that's 100%.
Yeah.
I've never even found one that's 90%. It doesn't matter if they're studying on 10 people or 5,000 people. You don't trust science. You can, you know, justify with science, but you can't trust the science.
It's very much a faith-based initiative.
Yes.
And it's very curious to me that, you know, conservative-leaning people that have been poo-pooing the science of climate and climate change for a while now, they're like, you know, well, this is pseudoscience, that whenever COVID hit, and a year and a half later, I have initiated Operation Warp Speed, and we have got more vaccines than anybody else who doesn't have the vaccines. And people just like said, yeah, this seems legit to me. This science is solid. It's unbelievable to me. It really is. Now, I'm aware that they've been working on RNA technology for a long time now, 30 plus years, not more, closer to 40 plus years. And, but, I mean, I just really don't understand it, that, yeah, the science is settled crowd goes from the left to the right, from the right to the left. It's all over the place. And that kind of, in my opinion, displays what real power is, what real power is like. When you have the kind of sway on the human population like that, right? Because there's always going to be a handful of people out there, like myself, that just like, war is a racket. This is BS. The reason you politicians say that we're going to war is BS. You are liars. You're always liars. You will always be liars. You're lying right now. I don't believe you. War is a racket. You're a bunch of racketeering psychopaths. Multi-generational serial killers is what you are. There's always going to be people like that out there. Like, I'm one of these people. But they'll always be able to drum up some fear and talk a lot of people into going into war. Maybe, I don't know, after this last go-around of, you know, the search for Curley's gold or whatever we were involved in Iraq and you know, the game of risk that we were involved in the graveyard of empires over there in Afghanistan. We're like, oh, by the way, you guys need some nice goodies for the next war that you're getting ready to get. Okay, cool. Here's like $90 billion worth of toys for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're all these dudes that were like rocking AK-47s and the M60s on Toyota pickups and stuff. Now they all got like these Navy SEAL night vision goggles and, you know, really tricked out tanks and everything. And war is a racket. It is a racket. It's just if you can't see that now, then it's because you don't want it. I mean, I think I said in one of the previous shows, I remember having this discussion with my brother back when my dad died, that these wars are not meant to be won. I mean, we fought a war as a country against another country in the beginnings of midway through the 20th century, and we settled that one in like 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me that the most sophisticated, technologically advanced war machine that this planet has ever produced has troubles with a bunch of Arabian mountain-dwelling goat herders 20 years? Come on, man. Does that really make sense to you?
Right.
I mean, we could go there and slaughter every man, woman, and child in about 2 weeks and be back home for the Super Bowl, you know? But I digress. It's these new lines of communication that are opening up. And I asked the questions about that, you know, about the internet stuff and about their meager upstart companies, because I wanted to ask you, you know, do you feel like the internet was one of these things? Because throughout our history, there have been some things that have gotten away from the powers that be. I believe Adolf Hitler was one of these people, right? He was our guy, right? He took his eugenics program from the Henry Fords and the other rabid eugenicists that were here in America, right? I mean, we were sterilizing black people right up into the 1940s. This is well-documented stuff, right? Margaret Sanger and all these other eugenicists.
Wait, aren't they still in some places? Probably?
It's called Planned Parenthood. They rebranded it something different now. Sorry. But Adolf Hitler took his, you know, plans from our eugenicists, right, and basically picked up that ball and ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say exactly, you know, what the historical record is around all that sort of stuff. But I think he was like one of these guys that was like went off the reservation a little bit. You know, like he was the banker's guy. Right? And maybe, you know, things just got a little bit out of control, you know? Maybe that megalomaniacal brain just went haywire. It just got away from the powers, you know? And that's why I'm wondering about with the internet. Because we see now how it can be used most definitely as a means of control.
Right.
Right? Let's look, you know, written a short history about track and trace programs, you know, because of COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though conspiracy theorists are like, oh, no, they're doing this. This is all in place already. It's here for you. It's not for terrorists or whatever, right? Enter COVID terrorism. And now it's like all out in the open now, right? What do you think? Is the internet like one of those things that maybe got away from them a little bit?
I think so. And I think part of what they realize that's been realized, but it's understood that it can't be completely controlled and reined back in. So
the toothpaste is out of the tube.
Right. They're going with the flow, and at this point, they almost make you feel like as an American citizen, you have to be connected to the internet. You've got to have internet to play TV. You've got to have internet to work. You've got to have internet to have a phone to connect with somebody. There are no landlines really anymore. You have to have an internet for banking. You have to have an internet for your money, because you've got to check, you know, whether it's banking or credit cards or sending somebody there's rarely paper checks. There's all kind of things. Everything's controlled through the internet these days. I mean, if you want to order a pizza, you go to the app. You don't necessarily call them on the phone. And all of the numbers are tracked, and everybody carries a cell phone in their pocket because we've gotten so addicted to the technology. They're using that as their form of control. So yeah, I think it's out of hand, but they're maybe not reining it in, but they're utilizing it to their benefit at this point.
Do you remember something called Arab Spring? How was it called? The government of Egypt, yeah, during the Arab Spring, they were monitoring all of these groups getting together to protest in the streets. The government was just openly monitoring all of Facebook.
Mm.
So they were all using Facebook to get their groups together.
Right.
Everybody, we're meeting at state at the you know at the Capitol at 2:30 on Monday. Share this if you were in, and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
Excuse me. And again, you know, a lot of people have been saying for a long time, you know, all the way back to the 9/11 scary stuff, right, that this is BS. This stuff is not being put in place because of terrorism. It's not about catching Osama bin Laden and his merry band of brothers over there in Afghan-Iraq, all right? This stuff is being put in place for you. The stuff at the airports, they're wanting to restrict travel. No, I can still go anywhere I want. What about now?
Right.
How about now?
Right.
We are looking right down the barrel of the gun of papers, please. I literally had someone show me their papers this last week, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Flipped it out.
Yep. I said, I will not be a party to any of this Nazi-style papers, please stuff.
Right.
I said, I don't want to see your papers. I don't want you to offer me your papers. I don't care about your vaccine status. And all of the puzzle pieces are falling into place on this sort of stuff, though.
Mm-hmm.
And within this, if you study it, as some of these tinfoil hatter guys were saying, was if you look into the abyss, sometimes you'll notice the abyss is looking back at you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you study this stuff, it's not really conducive to self-empowerment. Learning about a cabal of about 2,000 people that run the planet is not really empowering.
Right.
You know, whether or not if you want that knowledge, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But with the internet stuff, you see this open rebellion happening, right? I mean, you tell people, you know, YouTube is crap. It's good for watching cats messing with yarn and, you know, watching guys get hit in the crotch and stuff like that, or whatever funny videos that you're into.
It's good for how-to videos.
That too, right? But if you want to get on there and be like, you know what? This COVID thing is out of hand. They just recently nixed everything that was talking about the COVID vaccines.
Okay.
They put in a new one, a new new addendum to their house rules. What do they call them? The code of conduct or community guidelines. That's it.
What do you think is the most important, like if you put economics in a whole big pie, then what is the most important slice?
Building your own.
Home economics? That's what, what comes to my mind, taking care of your house and your home and your family.
Well of course, yes.
Breaking it down to something doable.
But it falls to that. The word I would use would be self-reliance.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you don't believe in inflation, right, if you're one of these people that's blinded to inflation, you know, be it you don't notice that your package of Pringles got smaller for the same price.
Right.
Or the cans of tuna got smaller for the same price, you know, because your dollar is not buying as much as it used to.
Mm-hmm. Your budget doesn't go as far.
I'm encouraged by the crypto market, and I have been for a long time now. I wish I was a millionaire that I could have heavily invested a long time ago, you know, because I've known about it since the beginning. I really have. But yada, 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 life happens on to it, and didn't have a lot of resources to throw at it, which I wish I could have. But this is the kind of decentralization that I think is going to be just straight up black market. It's going to be something akin to people in the districts of the Hunger Games. Right? But there's going to be some a little bit wealthier people out there in those districts. Because just like we were just talking about the Facebook and the YouTube, there's other platforms that have been coming up since these Nazis, these authoritarians, have started flexing their muscles and censoring everything. Right? I mean, and a lot of this stuff is getting memory holes. Remember the 1984 movie book about Winston, you know, and things getting memory holes? It wasn't just COVID, right? It wasn't just COVID. The Hunter Biden thing, right? President Biden's crackhead son, right? It's just like a bunch of pimply-faced, douchey kids at Facebook going, oh, my God, I don't like that. I'm going to censor that. You know? And the Hitler Youth is back, and they're here, right? They look a lot different than they did in the 1930s, but they're here. And they don't want you to be talking about anything that they don't like. If you're not woke, I want you to go to a re-enlightenment camp, okay? Well, censorship is repugnant in a free and open society. You have to stand up for the stuff that you don't like, right? You can't legislate morality. I'm going to say that again. You can't legislate morality. We've tried so many times, right? It is immoral to kill babies, right? You can't legislate against it.
Right.
We've already got the don't murder thing in place, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's immoral. Completely immoral.
And that's an easily agreed upon thing that people can get behind.
Pretty much across the board. Don't kill me, don't take my stuff, right?
No matter if you're religious or not.
But we have these new platforms, right? These new ways of decentralizing pretty much everything. And I think that's where, you know, some of the old ways are meeting with the new ways. a new picture is starting to emerge. And, you know, we see it every day, day in and day out. I mean, there are people all over the place where I live where the ideology of grow food, not lawn, where you see some of these beautiful homes with terraced gardens everywhere on their property.
Yep.
And the decentralization of the food production, because that should be the canary in the coal mine for a lot of us, was the fake interruption of the supply chains because of this COVID crisis, right? Did COVID get loose on all of those ships in the Suez Canal?
Right.
That have hijacked. What is it when a truck goes sideways?
T-bone?
Whenever a truck is making a semi-truck.
Jackknife?
Jackknife, thank you. Hijack is closed, right? Sorry.
Right.
When those big tankers jackknifed in the sideways in the Suez Canal, did COVID do that? Right? No, but all the idiots out in the running the port of Los Angeles, they'll have COVID. Stay out in the ocean. Don't come into our waterway. We have a pandemic over here. Right? Well, people should be hearing this stuff very loud and clear. And decentralization, right? Victory gardens, community gardens, right? By God, I mean, in California, right, where the commies are just out in the open now, right? Walking down the street without a mask and the commies come and, papers, please. It's here. It's happening, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people still play it off and play it down because, you know, it's easy to. Because it's in America, right? But if I was in California, where you have a growing season pretty much year-round in a lot of places there, what a better place to start that type of project? Mm-hmm. A decentralization, right? Because, I mean, my goodness, I mean, so much food comes from that part of the world, you know? All the good almonds and avocados tend to come from there.
Right, and I think food is the first and foremost. I mean, even if you live in an apartment, maybe grow you some herbs in the windowsill.
Sure.
Grow some herbs on the patio. Get one of those little hydroponic things that use the little pods with the little lights that grow in your kitchen. Aqua some things, I forget what they're called. Some of them use little dirt pellets. Some of them are just hydroponics in the small scale. Grow a tomato plant outside. Ask your neighbors where to gather, because I feel like this is a season where we need to take advantage of, if we haven't already, learning how to take better care of ourselves for those essential needs. Food, clothing, this sort of stuff. And so maybe it's you learn to go hunt. Maybe it's you start practicing shooting and you hunt next year. Maybe it's grow in a garden or work with your neighbor or learn how to cook. If that's something that you've neglected to do, learn how to cook with the fresh produce. Because, again, going back to our supply and demand, whenever we had a lot of issues and the grocery store shelves were cleaned out as soon as COVID hit, the toilet paper was gone. Well, you could replace that by getting a bidet. All the boxed foods were gone, but the produce was there. And so if you learn how to cook with the produce and the fresh vegetables your neighbor,
That's so true.
You've got a leg up when it comes to if this happens again.
And I remember pointing that out 3 months running.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go in there, wow, there's no tortilla chips, but I can still buy all the bell peppers that I need.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if it's just you learn one more cooking skill, I've keep expanding mine too, because I always thought, just like for pasta sauce, you just blend up some tomatoes, but that's not the case. And so I've learned how to make sauces with tomatoes. I've made tomato soup, and we've got 16 jars, I think, of tomato soup. This is something that can sustain you if you can't make it to the grocery store, or you just want to enjoy the bountiful harvest. Or so if you go to the farmer's market right now and they've got those huge 25-pound boxes of tomatoes.
Or trade with somebody across the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you open up the new lines of communication because you're like, wow, how do you get your eggplants to look that big and beautiful?
Right.
That's great. I'd love one. Would you like a jar of my tomato soup? I did really good this last year, you know.
Right. Or you can learn how to get the deals with the farmer's market on any of those things from your local farmer. Our farmer does a fall festival right now where you can pick squash and load a wagon for like $40 or something like this and load it up with pumpkin. Pumpkin can sustain you as well. Pumpkin's really good for your digestive system. It can store easily. Even just a full pumpkin can last a while. We kept ours from the garden last year for like months and months before I made a pumpkin pie. Because those, if you keep them cool and dry, then they can last for a minute if you need a go-to backup item. You can make chili out of pumpkin. You can make pies out of pumpkin. You can make soup out of pumpkin. So there's lots of hearty vegetables that are available this time of the year even that could sustain you through the winter. And if it's not food, if you're like, no, I'm good, I don't want to, learn a different craft. I talked about hunting, but also, you know, knitting, crochet, sewing, these things that maybe you repair your clothes as opposed to buying new ones if that saves you a few bucks, or trade with your neighbor. Hey, I'll mend your suit if you, you know, give me a jar of tomato soup or whatever. These kind of things, opening the communication and being there for your neighbors, and it may benefit you in the long run, especially we've got the internet right now, which makes it easier with connecting with your neighborhood and such, like I asked for the apples and barter.
Yes. And good to at least say hi to your neighbors,
mm-hmm.
know a couple of them at least. And another thing that it's been on my to-do list. I just am a slave and work too much, is to get together and use this internet against the powers that be and find a meetup group.
Right.
They're called Freedom Cells, and I've been procrastinating on this for the past year now during COVID.
Right, because we used to do a book club,
yeah.
And that was good for us. And but it just wasn't our group of people. And even though we enjoyed every one of the books, even The Gene, which was way longer than I could finish in a month, but I did it anyways, mm-hmm. and those sort of things, it wasn't our group of people, and they stopped it when COVID hit. And so we need something more sustainable as far as a group of meetups. So I totally agree with that.
And, you know, this is, like I say, you know, the internet is, you know, I don't know if it was getting away from the powers that be or whatever, right? We could speculate and talk about that forever. But you definitely see who it belongs to. It's the same people that have been controlling the narrative in the news and the newspapers for a while. And if you're going against the mainstream narrative, well, you're going to get shut down. And it's not a real far-fetched, fantastical type of conspiracy theory to see how this type of thing could transfer over to some sort of Black Mirror style Chinese social credit score type of system. You get out of line, your social credit score is going to go down, and you may not be able to interact with society. You won't be able to get on their internet. You won't be able to buy from the Amazon company store, et cetera, et cetera. Your chip will be turned off, basically, right? I mean, imagine that, right? If the centralization of power gets to that type of level where I go to the gas pump with my chip card and go, huh, stupid thing doesn't seem to work. That's weird.
And there's nothing you could do about it.
And I turn on my smart, on my dumb phone, and everything's like, can't get into Facebook. My Twitter account's been suspended. What's going on here? Right? And that brings me to my final point here, which is we have and have had for a long time in this country the idea of American exceptionalism. I will concur with anyone that says that this is the best country in the world. It is the bastion of freedom and liberty on this planet. We had a group of people that started up this idea of self-governance. And they were very plain about it and said, it's a republic if you can keep it. And they would say things like, yeah, you better remain vigilant. Otherwise, you're going to have to refresh the Fountain of Liberty from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Well, complacency has landed us in this spot, I believe, to where we find ourselves up against this sort of thing, to where it could be argued that the country has been lost. And it'd be a pretty good argument.
Right.
You go to the capital of this country, and you see a militarized police force standing around fences around the Capitol buildings. Looks like an occupying force controls this country.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we still have all of our freedoms in place. Well, except for whenever we want to talk against this guy, we want to talk against that guy, or we want to say something bad about pharmaceutical companies, or, okay, no, we don't. We've lost a lot of our liberties, right? And these rights that we always proclaim to have, believe me, if these are things that can be taken away from you, they are not rights, they're privileges. We have several inalienable rights, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's don't kill me. Don't steal my stuff. Leave me the F alone. We can come together in a voluntary sort of way, have contractual interactions with one another,
mm-hmm.
and we can live peaceably. We do it all the time. But this is the fallacious type of rhetoric that we get bombarded with all the time. Right? We live with it for the past 20 years, right? And nobody seems to be mad about this. I'm very upset about it because I remember preaching about it so much all the time about these scary boogeymen, Osama bin Laden and all of his, you know, band of brothers over there, right? And they're here and they're there. There's sleeper cells all over the place. They're coming out to kill you. Right? Well, if they're that bad, that darn scary, right? The Taliban especially, you should be furious that your government left them all those military toys. If they had to, like, hijack planes before to fly them into buildings, well, screw that. They got military-grade upgrades now. They're chopping tall cotton now.
Right.
But the idea that it can't happen here. There's a book. It's quoted from many times. It's called They Thought They Were Free. It was written by that professor that was in the Weimar Republic, Germany, right, back in the 20s and into the 30s. And it's this part of that book that always stuck with me. And it seems really poignant to the time in which we live right now. Because what he said about those times was, we became used to the idea of being governed by surprise. And we never really thought anything was out of place or wrong with it, because we associated our freedom with the forms. We associated our freedom with the forms, right? Now think about that. If you are Karen's soccer mom, and you can still wake up every day in your cookie cutter house in Cookie Cutter Hills, America, and you can still drive your V8 Suburban to Starbucks, you're free, right? Of course, nothing's really changed for me. We associated it with the forms. Mm-hmm. To your average everyday baker, butcher, deli worker, Starbucks person, these ideas don't mean a lot because we associate the freedom with the forms, and we never pay attention to the idea because it can't happen here. And I remember, and I mentioned it on the show, whenever COVID first set off, and I had that escapee from New York in my Uber. And he was lauding about how crazy it is to think. He was saying this type of rhetoric. I think it's just crazy that there are people that really believe in this country that there could be some sort of communist-style takeover. I want to go over to, he just lives right down the way. I want to go to his house and be like, well, how do you feel about that now? How do you feel about that? If you don't look around and see communism closing in, right? And look, you can substitute out, right? We're all about the isms. You can substitute out communism for the socialism, for democratic socialism, globalism, right? These are pretty much interchangeable type of definitions and terms. But yeah, at the end of the day, they're commies to me, commies for me. And what they lust after is control, right? You think about those people that we've talked about, right? These little butthole kids working for Facebook, working at Twitter. I don't like that off the thing. I don't like these words. These hurt my feelings. I don't like it when they say things against the Pfizer vaccine. They're off of our platform. I don't like it when they say something against Joe Biden's son. So we're going to kick them off too. These are commies. These are your modern-day commies, right? We had that little commie scare during the McCarthyism, right? During the Hollywood. Oh, there's commies in Hollywood. Went on our witch hunt and everything else.
Yep.
Well, the commies are operating very openly in our society these days, and you have people telling Americans, you have to take this drug. I don't care how good the drug is. I operate from an axiom of, I know what's best for me, be it if it's a bottle of peanut butter whiskey or an aspirin. Whatever I choose to put in my body is of my own volition. You don't get to do those. Because if you don't own your body, you don't own anything. Your property rights start with you.
Right? What happened to my body, my choice?
Well, that went away.
But it's not supposed to.
It died on the slab in COVID, I believe.
I think it should still come back. I think we should have control over our body and what we choose to consume.
No, see, right there. I say I do have control over my body. We talked about this few episodes back. Where is your line in the sand?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to challenge everybody to start thinking in these terms. Where is my line? Because I guarantee you, there's a bunch of people sitting in their homes, feeling like prisoners in Australia right now, going, you know what? I should have drew a line a long time ago. Before predator drones started patrolling our neighborhood, before police started beating the crap out of kids for hanging out at like a outdoor party, right? This is actually going on. And if you say it, that, well, yeah, good luck with any of that, like happening here in America, right? Okay, great. You're armed to the teeth, right? We got our Second Amendment rights here, don't we, right? I can tote my shotgun, I can skin a buck, and I can run a trot line. How are you going to stand up against a predator drone? Go on to YouTube and look at that idiot that was shooting at the cops in Austin, Texas. He thought he was really smooth because he was doing it at nighttime, and the police helicopter was going around his neighborhood, and he had his rifle down by his truck, walk over there, and then pop a shot off at him. Then run back, like, drink a beer with Hank Hill and, like, nothing going on. And they snipered him from, like, 500 yards away. I don't care if you are the deer hunter supremo. You can't stand up to this. Mm-hmm. You don't have a chance. Now, if you got some zombies coming to take your stuff, yeah, you can take them out. If you got a horde of, eat the rich, you know, and you just happen to have, you know, some canned goods in your store, yeah, you can take them out. But you decentralize the power, right? You take the power from them. You take the power play from them. They're going to say, we need you to do this. And be like, no, I'm not part of that system anymore.
Right.
Well, we need you. No, I don't plan to go to your store. I don't plan to go to your concerts. I don't plan to go to your thing. I'm not doing that. No. Well, but, no, I don't need your money. No.
Right. The more self-reliant you are, then the more you have a leg up for sure.
If you're not able to, you know, do it in whole, it has to start somewhere.
Right. Every little tiny bit's going to make a difference. Even if you go back to like, okay, fine, I learned how to cook one thing, or I learned how to cook an extra thing, or I learned how to cook something very basic and sustainable like bone broth.
And I learned how to get off of the platforms.
Yep.
Right? And using their platforms against them, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
Posting mental acumen shows to Facebook and Instagram, we're all about that. But I won't be censored.
Right.
I won't be censored. I won't be a slave. I will not. My line starts at my body, and they won't control what goes into it, nor will they control what comes out of it. That's where my line starts. Is that fair?
That's fair, and that's a healthy choice to make because it's for a good reason, because, yeah, you take ownership of your body.
Mm-hmm. And your mind. We've talked about that one so many times.
Right, monitoring your input. And
in the words of the Megadeth song, Holy Wars, the punishment due. The next thing you know, they'll take my thoughts away. You know? Sorry, my old school Megadeth fan. Would you like to say something in closing?
I just think the most important takeaway from today's show is if you get lost in something, if it's a lot, if you're, you know, you listen to us for the health coaching type stuff or just passing through and you don't know how to digest all the information, because it is a lot, and it's a lot to wrap your mind around, then remember the part about start small. Take ownership. Decide today you're going to basically learn something new. I mean, mental acumen is about learning new stuff, and if you just learn one thing to rely on yourself, your community, your family a little bit more, and the powers that be a little bit less, I think that's a good place to start.
Think alternatively.
Mm-hmm.
What's an alternative to my food sources? What's an alternative to my water sources? What's an alternative currency? What is alternative food sourcing? These are all good places to look at. Because believe you me, there's a lot of people out there way smarter than me that are ahead of the curve on this.
Right.
And freedom is an idea, and you can't kill ideas. You can kill people, but you can't kill ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom, autonomy, self-reliance, and self-governance. These are ideas that will not be killed. You might kill the people that have them, but the ideas will not die.
Right. And I think it's growing, and I hope so, and I hope it continues to grow, and that more people take control of their real lives by thinking of themselves as autonomous beings as opposed to sheep.
And I'll just go ahead and add one more to the road, is this YouTube alternative of Rockfin.
Mm-hmm.
R-O-K-F-I-N. And a lot of these thought criminals that have been getting booted off of the normie mainstream, they're doing exactly that. They're starting their own thing. And most of them, I believe you could just, it's like a subscription. It's like Netflix, right? So Netflix is like 14, 15 bucks. Rockfin is like 10 bucks. And you get access to all of the producers on the platform.
Awesome, because again, alternative. Don't let anybody control your mind.
Yep.
You get to control where you consume content.
Yep. And don't get bogged down in all of the negativity, right?
Mm.
Remember what we said. Balance.
Yes.
The opposites, right? And this is the time of reflection and balance. Don't always dwell in the darkness. Live in the light.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for joining us this week, and stay tuned for proof. We'll see you next week.
Much love, everybody.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.